It's quarter till eight, and I'm heading on my way. The good news is, no rant on this audio boo. Well, not intentionally anyway, and certainly not about anything that you're probably going to care about, so. I'm sitting at the intersection of my condo, and this intersection is notorious for being basically the worst intersection in the state, maybe the country. Because as I sit here, I made it. Not bad. As I sit there, it's condo, the street that leads to my condo, sits off of one of the sort of semi-major arteries running directly toward work. I really lucked out with where I'm living because I'm not quite 2 miles away from my office, which in this town is unbelievable. I mean, that's very lucky. Bowling Green is a mid-sized town. I mean, I think, what's our population? Around 50,000. It's not really built for it. It's grown very quickly. Very, very, very quickly. And the infrastructure is having a hard time keeping up with it. So you will get, you know, Chicago-worthy traffic snarls, you know, New York-worthy traffic jams at the intersections, even though it's not that big of a town. And no one ever really believes it until they're in the middle of it and they see, you know, my God, it's horrible. Because there's a few main veins running through the town, and the town is kind of spread out. So to get anywhere, you end up on one of these sort of major traffic zones, and you and everyone else in the state is trying to get to the same place almost always. So it's tricky. Anyway, I know that's all very interesting. You know, I've been thinking of a story lately, and I've been writing down notes here and there, and that's most of the stories, short stories and sort of ideas for longer stories that I've ever had, they end up as mostly notes. And generally a lot of them get recycled into other stories that may or may not get written. And then once they're written, they may or may not be seen by another living soul. But I was thinking this morning I was trying to imagine a story in which, you know, someone around my age, and of course, I think all stories sort of start from that direction. All stories sort of start with sort of a centric, you know, a sort of self-centric perspective. Because you have to imagine, you know, what would you do if this happened? And I was imagining this morning, like, what would my life be like if I suddenly woke up in the morning and I was, for instance, in my story, I was sort of thinking, what if I woke up and I was back at my first day of college? And it seems almost sort of idyllic. It seems like that's something that most anybody in their early 30s would be like, you know, holy crap, awesome, you know. Because you sort of tell yourself, if I knew then what I know now, you know, my life would have just been, I'd have been Bill Gates by the time I was 25. You know, if you were suddenly transported back to 18. But of course, that doesn't make for a terribly interesting story. You know, this, you know, something strange happens and the dude lives for, you know, happily ever after. So, you know, but and you begin to realize that it wouldn't be that fantastic, really. There's that as awesome as certain elements would be, you know, the fact that you'd be 18 again and you'd be relatively carefree. And people, if you're 18, 19 right now and you're all upset about the pressures and the inequities of life, just wait. I mean, that sounds terrible, because I don't want to say, hey, you know, those are the best times of your life, because they shouldn't be. It's just that, things get very complicated once you get out of college and you're dealing with. It never, ever, ever works out the way you expect it to. So just consider it a forewarning that, you know, you can make it work out the way you want it to. You just have to be very aware, and you have to sort of hold your tongue a bit more, I guess, and reserve your judgment. And the hardest thing when you're 18, 19 years old, you have to learn patience. I mean, patience, waiting for the stars to burn out kind of patience. But anyway... So then suddenly the story started getting kind of interesting, and I started imagining all these scenarios where it would be sort of a horror. I mean, after all, someone like me, I'm a technophile, I'm a futurist, so I'm constantly waiting for that new technology, waiting for that next version. I'm waiting for 2.0 of everything. Whether it's the next iPhone, the next iPad, new graphics accelerator, you know, for my computer at home, whatever, you know, that's where I am. And to suddenly go back, you know, to being 18 at that level of technology would seem, you know, to not even, to realize that I didn't even have a cell phone. I mean, it would blow you away. And then you start thinking about sort of the political implications. Not political, but you know, things like, you know, knowing what I... political? That's weird. I don't really mean political, but I suppose the implications to what you would have to do... Say, for instance, I mean, you would know that the attacks at September 11th would happen. And, I consider myself a decently informed person, but... You know, I would have to strain to remember the details, and then what do you do with it? I mean, do you tip off the government, you know, and tell them, hey, this is going to happen on such and such a day, and the reason it seems like it would be sort of a no-brainer that obviously you would, well, maybe, but then episodes of Star Trek start coming up, and you start thinking, well, but if I do that, how am I really altering the future? You know, is it... Maybe that was supposed to happen, as horrible as that seems. You know, tragedies like that, perhaps they do have their place, you know. Because perhaps if I change something, then something terrible, something much worse happens because we weren't prepared or we didn't react or... You get the idea. It just all of a sudden you begin to realize that the whole scenario of this being an ideal situation just falls apart. And then, you know, what do you tell your family? Because after all, you would have to go back to being 18 again. You'd have to go through college again, which, you know, would be partially fantastic and partially a nightmare. Because as I am right now, I'm not 18 anymore. My brain is not... is not at that same level. I can look back on myself very easily and see how childish and immature I was. But I fit in with my friends, so that sort of tells you that I would basically be in a very sort of immature, you know, I would be plugging into a very immature sort of circle. I mean, great people, but still. So that just sort of stops you and makes you think. But you know, I did have a positive thought under it after all this, and of course that's not even the meat of the story. That's just kind of the setup. But the really positive thought I had was that you would, I think, wake up with this feeling of sort of almost not quite omnipotence, but this feeling of strong empowerment. You know, when you wake up and you realize where you are and sort of what's happened, I think you would wake up with this feeling of, you know, I can change it now. I can do, you know, all the things that I didn't like about the past, I can fix. And it occurred to me that you can have that feeling right now. That's something that it's possible to feel right now. All you have to do is think of yourself in 10 years, and think of yourself thinking of that scenario in 10 years, and yourself in the future thinking, you know, if I knew then what I knew now, what would I tell myself? I'd tell myself to relax, I'd tell myself to be patient, I'd tell myself that you can make changes right now into what you're doing in your life. And it's intriguing when a story gives you that kind of food for thought, that it actually begins to sort of worm its way into your day and change the way you're thinking. Because this one did. You know, you begin to believe that you know, I think that's an excellent way of seeing the world. That I'll be able to look at my future self and say, you know, hey, you did it.